It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up in this hour, mystery. Later on, an episode of It's a Crime, Mr. Collins. But first, the Mole Mystery Theater, an NBC episode from June 27th, 1947, called Talk Them to Death.
And now, the Mole Mystery Theater, presented by M-O-L-L-E. Mole, the heavier brushless shaving cream for tough whiskers or a tender skin.
Good evening. This is Jeffrey Barnes welcoming you to the Mole Mystery Theater, the program that presents the best in mystery and detective fiction. Tonight's mystery by Walter B. Newman is entitled Talk Them to Death and stars Everett Sloan. It might well have been called Murder Under the Big Top, since it has a circus locale and is bright with the color and glitter of circus people. But the most powerful element of our mystery is its leading character, Nick Arnold, a strange, ugly little man who discovered that the best way to rid himself of his enemies was to talk them to death. But first, let's hear from a man with some friendly words on the subject of shaving, Dan Seymour.
Friends, there's big news about Mole, the heavier brushless shaving cream for tough whiskers or a tender skin. Yes, it's Mole's sensational Get Acquainted offer. Your chance to try Mole and to get a supply of Persona, America's deluxe razor blades. That's right, 5 guaranteed Persona precision blades that sell 10 for a dollar. Now, these famous Persona blades make a perfect shaving companion for Mole brushless shaving cream. Later on, we're going to tell you how to get in on this special Mole offer. So, don't miss it. And now for tonight's Mole mystery, Talk Them to Death. Starring Everett Sloan.
That morning, I decided to talk to death all those between me and what I wanted. Words had always been my only defense. What other defense have you when you're weak and small and ugly? Now I would take the offensive. I would talk, and they would listen and die. That morning I was standing, as I often stood, just inside the entrance to the Big Top, watching Annette rehearse. I love to watch trapeze artists. To feel for just one moment the freedom, the serenity, the swooping exultation they experience at every performance. I watched Annette swing back and forth, back and forth. What a lovely girl. I hungered for her. But what had I to offer her? Nothing. But if I owned the circus, yes, I, Nick Arnold, if I were owner of the circus...
Nick! Snap out of it, Nick!
What?
Always in a fog. Listen, I got Peter the Great outside, our new escape artist. Is his wagon ready for him?
Well, you didn't tell me, Duke. You told Lee to take care of it.
Lee? Come on, Nick. Fine part of that loopy rum hounder is gets half the profits and leaves me all the grief.
He'd be lost without you, Duke.
This show could be a real moneymaker if I didn't have him around my neck. Why doesn't he sell out to me like I ask him?
You're right, Duke. He's no help to you at all.
Oh, Duke. Oh, Nick. How's the Arnold brothers? What's the matter, Duke? You mad about something?
You lush, you rum-tum. You a star act joins the outfit and there's no wagon ready for him.
Oh, that. I'm sorry about that, Duke. I guess it slipped my
mind. Oh, really? You're sorry, huh? Well, that's just dandy. Just dandy.
Incredible.
Now, what's the good of being
just
fine?
Because of a few that words, a grown man cowers like a whipped
dog. Does
that
make the wagon ready, huh? Duke. Now, look, I'm finished. One of us has to get out. I want you to sell your half to me.
Sell? Oh, you know I can't do that, Duke. This show has always belonged to my family, my grandfather, my father. I broke into show business with this circus.
Turn it off. And I don't want to hear any more about how you were once a lion tamer. It don't impress me.
Well,
a fine lion tamer you must have made. You get clawed once and your nerve breaks and you don't go near a lion for 15 years.
That's not true. I was a good lion tamer and I'm not afraid of the cats. I'm not.
No? Why did you give it up then?
Well, because of my other responsibilities. Yeah, running this show and looking after my wife and raising my son, Robbie.
Throw it to the sparrows, will you? You don't run this show, I do. You don't look after Ruby, she looks after you. Yes, and she's a better tamer than you ever were because she's got the moxie.
Oh, for Pete's sake, Duke, leave me something,
okay,
will you?
Okay, you won't sell out to me, then buy me out.
Oh, no, Duke,
what's
please.
What's going on here?
Oh, Ruby.
I said, what's going on? I'm talking to you, Duke.
Ruby,
I still have a performer out there waiting for a wagon.
All right. I'll see about that right now. Ruby?
Yeah, go ahead, Lee. I'll take care of this.
All right, Ruby.
No dice, Ruby. He won't buy and he won't sell.
No, I told you he wouldn't. Duke, don't bear down too hard on him.
Oh, I'm sorry. Working with him is like trying to write with a post office pen. I lose my temper.
I only ask because he doesn't have long to live. I got him to take a physical examination in Temple, and his heart's in bad shape. He doesn't know. So be patient.
Okay. You look tired, baby.
I've been trying to work Jezebel all morning. It's no use. She's turned killer cat. We'll have to shoot her.
Come here, give me a kiss, huh?
Sure.
I better be...
It's only Nick. You're going to fade into the background once too often, kid. Go on, beat it.
Oh, sure, Duke, sure.
Hello, Nick.
Oh, hello, Annette. Where are you going?
To my wagon. You want to walk me home?
Yeah.
Say, was that you down there watching me rehearse this morning? What'd you think?
Oh, you're getting big time. If I owned this show, I'd raise your pay and give you star billing. And that's not
all.
Here comes
Robbie. Pretend you don't see him.
Hello, satin skin. Got a smile for Robbie?
You grab my arm again
when
and
you
I'll...
you gotta give me a tumble, baby?
Come on, Nick.
So long, satin skin.
Oh, I hate that mama's boy. Just because Lee and Ruby are his folks, he thinks that... He sits opposite me in the mess tent and tries to play footy-footy under the table. You know, I wish your brother Duke would...
Do you want me to take care of him?
You? I mean... Forget it, Nick. I can take care of myself. Oh, look. They're rolling a new wagon next to mine.
Yes, we have a new star act. Peter the Great, the escape artist.
Oh? Well, I'll see you later, Nick.
That night, sitting in the dark on the steps of my wagon, I saw Ruby and Duke pass arm in arm. A little later, Robbie on his way to town. I finished my cigarette and stretched. It was time I started for Lee's wagon. Hello, Lee.
Huh? Oh, it's you, Nick. Have a drink?
No, thanks. Oh, what's that? A photograph album?
Yeah, just looking through some old pictures. Look, here's me, the first day I did my lion taming act.
Oh, good-looking costume.
Yeah, wasn't it? I was a big success. I stopped the show cold.
Oh, I bet you did at that. Here, have another drink.
Yeah. Here's another picture, Nick. That's me and my cats.
How many did you work?
30 at one time. Greatest thing you ever saw. You think Ruby is good with the cats? You should have seen Mean. I taught her everything she knows. I'm as good as I ever was, too. And if you want to know something, I'm thinking of going back into it.
Really?
Sure. Never would have left it, you know, if I didn't have more important responsibilities running my show and bringing up Robbie and taking care of Ruby. Well, it's true. You'll see. You'll all see. I didn't lose my nerve. I didn't. It's a lie, Nick.
Sure it is. Sure it is. Drink up.
Thanks.
You think you could handle Jezebel?
Jezebel? I could have that cat purring and rubbing against my leg in 5 minutes, Nick. I told you, I used to work 30 at one time.
30? My goodness. How did you do it?
Well, I... Here, give me Ruby's whip.
Here.
Thanks. Let me have that chair. Now,
cats would be all over the cage, see, and the band would be playing. As soon as I'd come in, Rondo would take a swipe at me. Back, Rondo, back, you step back. And he'd snarl and he'd go back, and then I'd start building them at the pyramids. Up, you three, up, hold it. Now, you five, on the platform. Up, Nero, up. And there they'd all be, all pyramided, and the audience screaming itself crazy.
Here, here, have a drink, Lee. You know, I sure would like to see you in action.
Oh, anytime, anytime.
Well, how about now?
Huh?
With just Jezebel.
Well, I... Why not? Sure.
Let's go, then.
Absolutely. And you know something? After I tame Jezebel, I'm going to have a little talk with Ruby. She's been getting out of hand lately. You know how some women have to be tamed. Well, I'm the guy who can tame them. I can tame anything. Look at her. Back and forth. Back and forth. Huh? You Jezebel. Wouldn't you like to get out of that cage, huh? Mean looking, isn't she?
I think she's beautiful.
Well, they don't come too mean for Lee Duncan. You watch me tame her, Nick. You know something? I remember the way it used to be. The ringmaster would say, "Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest of them all, Lee Duncan." And I'd be standing there in that spotlight holding my whip and wearing that red and gold costume, Nick.
Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest of them all, Lee Duncan.
Yeah. Eh? Jezebel, you?
Go ahead, Lee.
Sure. Sure. You watch me. I'll show you how a man does taming, Nick. Eh? Take a good look, Jezebel. I'm gonna teach you. Hey, what am I doing here? Now. Back! Jezebel, back! Back! Ruby! Ruby!
We buried Lee next day, what was left of him. A month later, Duke married Ruby and became 100% owner of the circus, thus proving that everything comes to him who waits. The money made by exhibiting Jezebel, the man-killer, almost paid for the new banners and posters advertising the Duke Arnold Show. The Duke Arnold Show. I'd see my brother staring at those four little words on the three sheets for minutes at a time. His eyes would be filled with the wonder and the glory of them. Something like Saul's on the road to Damascus, I imagine. And what were they, after all? Just words, printed words, ink on paper. Words. I love words. Yes, Duke was a happy man, except for a few little things.
Are you happy, Duke? Do I make you happy?
You know you do. Oh, I love you, Ruby.
I'm crazy about you.
I know you are, Ruby. Sometimes it scares me.
Scares you?
I was thinking about Lee.
What about Lee?
It's all right, though, honest. I know you did it for me.
Did it for you? Wasn't it you that did it for me?
What are you trying? Well, you know I was with you. No, wait. Don't talk. Let's forget we mentioned it. Talking about it could take us someplace we don't want to go.
But I think...
So they dropped it. But they were never, ever quite sure about each other after that. Never absolutely sure. Then Duke began to drink, and his temper grew murderous.
I could kill you, you little punk!
Mom! Stop it, Duke, stop it! What's Robbie done now?
I'll tell you what you... He's made three of the coach kids hand in the notices. They'll leave him because your little Robbie's been throwing his weight around.
Did you do that, Robbie?
Oh, Mom, I was only having a little fun.
Fun? Is that what you call it? Putting me to the trouble and expense of bringing three more girls down if I can find them?
Duke.
You stay away from my performers. You hear me, panty waist? You let them alone, all of them.
Stop it, Duke.
And if I catch you annoying Annette again,
Duke,
I'll...
stop it. Calm down. I can hear you all over the lot.
Well, let them. I'm the boss.
Yeah, and how did you get the B-boy?
Why, you...
Duke!
Well,
Gone nuts!
I enjoyed watching Duke stew. I would have liked it to go on and on. But what words was I to use, and upon whom? And then I thought of Duke's temper, and a name popped into my head. Robbie. Yes, Robbie. Ruby's darling Robbie. Next afternoon, I was in the office wagon writing some letters.
Hey, Nick. Seen Mom?
What did you say?
Have you seen Mom?
Oh, no, no, but I saw someone else. Come on in. You're just the man I was looking for.
You're looking for me? What about?
I have a message for you. From Annette.
Satin Skin? No kidding, what?
You're a lucky guy. She wants to see you in her wagon after tonight's show. Probably wants a date with you.
No fooling, huh? What do you know about that? Well, it's about time. That's all I gotta say. It's about time. Boy, she... Hey, wait a minute. Are you sure she said Robbie the last time I spoke?
That's the way some women are. They like to play hard to get. You know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks a lot, Nick. I'll see you around, huh?
Yeah, don't mention it. So long. In her wagon. After tonight's show. Words. I followed Robbie to Annette's wagon that night.
Satin Skin. Here's your Robbie.
Oh, beat it, or I'll tell your mother on you.
Look, I got a box of candy for you. $5 worth. Doesn't that get Robbie a little kiss?
Go away, little boy.
Come here.
I said go away. I mean it.
Hard to get, huh? I know. But you don't have to pretend with Robbie. Now, how about the kiss?
You can only see how funny you look trying to act like a man of the world. Now, go away, Robbie. Go away.
Come on, give me a kiss.
Stop. Now, don't come any closer. I'm warning you. I said...
Oh, why, you little...
Let go! Let go! You let go of me! Get out of here!
Robbie!
Duke!
I told you,
Duke,
Robbie!
Duke, don't! Please! Duke, don't! Will you? I didn't do that. Let go of me!
No,
Duke,
please!
Don't let
me
go of me! Duke,
I ran after them as quickly as I could. In the lights of the wagons all down the line, I could see Robbie running, dodging, stumbling over tent pegs, looking over his shoulder, tripping over ropes... heading straight for Ruby, and Duke pounding after him. When I got to her wagon, I saw Robbie inside, cowering behind Ruby while she was trying to hold Duke off with a gun.
Mom, don't let him get me, Mom. Make him go away, will you?
I want
Mom,
you, Mom.
Don't
let me... You say he lost you.
Duke,
you're
jumping. Duke,
you're
jumping. Hell again. Duke, stop it or I'll shoot.
Duke. You've killed him.
I couldn't help thinking how easy it is to kill with words. Robbie strangled to death. Duke shot to death. Ruby charged with manslaughter. Bingo. Three birds with one stone, and I still had the stone. It was nice to be boss of the Duke Arnold Circus. There was only one cloud on my otherwise blue horizon. Peter the Great. There wasn't anything definite between them as yet, but it was plain that Annette was interested. If it were possible to describe Peter the Great in one word, that word would be egotistical. It wasn't hard to think of the words to use on Peter.
You wanted to see me, Nick?
Yes, yes. Sit down, Pete. Pete, I was wondering how you'd react if Annette were to share star billing with you. She's become a big drawing card.
Why, sure, sure. Give it to her. She deserves it. I don't mind. In fact, I'm glad for her. Nick, is she becoming a bigger draw than me?
Well, she's right up there with you. You know how it is. Customers always like something new and different, and she keeps adding new stunts to her routine.
Yes, yes, I know. She's good, all right. Do you, you think I ought to change my routine a little?
No. No, you've got a good routine, but if I may suggest...
Why, certainly. Go ahead.
Your act isn't sensational enough. What you need is a flash stunt, something that will make the yap's ears flap back and forth with excitement.
Have you got any ideas?
Well, I was thinking, could you manage an underwater escape?
Underwater?
Yes, something like this. You're handcuffed, and then after a thorough search for hidden keys, you get into a crate. The crate is sealed and lowered beneath the surface of the water. A couple of minutes later, your head appears above the surface. You're out of the cuffs and free of the crate. Something like that. Could you do it?
Why, sure. Sure to be a snap, I think. It's just a question of shucking the cuffs. The rest is only trimming. Okay, let's do it that way.
You're sure you can handle it? I don't want you to try it if it's too dangerous. Maybe you're not good enough to escape from...
I can escape from anything.
Well, all right, then. I'll start working on it right away. Our next stand is Scudderville. There's a bridge spanning a pretty big stream right across the street from the fairgrounds. And I...
Hi, Rangers! This is Paul, the Town of the Century. And now, ladies and gentlemen, you are privileged to witness one of the most astounding feats ever performed. You will see Peter the Great do the impossible right before your very eyes. Folks, you have just seen your chief of police search Peter thoroughly and handcuff him. Tell the folks, chief, did you discover any keys, picklocks, or other concealed devices?
I did not.
There you are, folks. Now step into the casket, Peter. Lie down and we'll close the lid.
All set, Pete?
Yeah. You check the winch and the rope? I don't want any slip-ups there. Unless this casket is anchored to the bridge, I'm a dead pigeon.
Don't worry about that. I attended to it personally.
Okay, then, Nick. Just remember, if I'm not above water in 3 minutes, pull me up fast.
Hold it, drummer! And now the casket containing Peter the Great is being lowered into the raging rapids below. There you are, folks. He is now below water. In a moment or two, the casket will be resting on the bed of the stream, 34 feet below water. Notice the strong pull of the current. See how the rope from the casket to the winch is taut and strained. And notice the rope snaps!
I turned my back on the crowd and walked away from the bridge a happy man. Of course the rope had snapped. I attended to it personally. Yes, I was happy. There is no greater satisfaction than that afforded by the knowledge of a good job well done. I had the show, and it would be only a question of time before I had a net also. Meanwhile, there was work to be done. A letter to Billboard informing that Bible of the amusement world of the unfortunate occurrence at the Scudderville Bridge. Then an advertisement to be inserted for a new escape artist for the Duke Arnold Circus.
Peter! Peter, how did you... Oh, no, 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 Peter, listen to me. Let me explain. You're upset and excited, and I understand what you must think, but... Let me assure you that
I'm going to kill you, Nick.
No, no, please stay where you are. Listen to me. Listen to me. I'll give you half the show. I'll give it all to you. No, don't come any closer, Peter. Peter, the show has belonged to you. The show I killed Lee for, and Duke, and Ruby, and Robbie. Listen to me. Listen to me. Can't you hear me? No. No. Listen. Keep him away from me. Keep him away, please. Please, please.
Peter never heard me. My lovely words were wasted on him. Yes, he was stone deaf. The pressure of the water had burst his eardrums. Well, Peter couldn't hear me, but it seems everyone else in Scudderville could. Well, what's past is past. It isn't bad where I am now. More like a rest home than a state asylum for the criminally insane. Of course, there are guards all around, and my activities for the time being are limited. But it has its good side. It's given me time to think, and I've arrived at certain conclusions that may interest you. My mistake was in squandering my talents upon too small an undertaking. What a fool I was, wasting my time and efforts on a cheap little circus when there was a world to conquer. Times seem always to be ripe for a man like me, a man who can manipulate people with words. This country is filled with fools who are open to suggestion, shall we say? If one knows the proper words, they'll listen.
You think not? You think they won't listen to me? Don't be silly. You've been listening, haven't you?
Now, this is Jeffrey Barnes again, bringing down the final curtain on tonight's presentation of Talk Them to Death, written by Walter B. Newman. Be sure to join us next week when the Mystery Theater presents Challenge to the Listener.
The original music for the Mystery Theater is composed and conducted by Alexander Semler. Everett Sloan was starred, Ralph Bell and Mary Shipp featured in tonight's program. Any resemblance between the names and characters used on this show and any actual persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental.
The Mole Mystery Theater, on Tuned to Yesterday, an NBC episode from June 27, 1947. The music from that show, composed and conducted by Alexander Semler, a prestigious name on radio during its golden era. He was behind the baton for episodes of Suspense, the famed Columbia Presents Corwin series, and also the Columbia Workshop, which hosted some of Norman Corwin's finest radio work. You're listening to an hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Time now for an episode of It's a Crime, Mr. Collins, a mutual broadcast from 1956 called The Chrome Yellow Death.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins.
It surely is. After all, the temperature does vary in the Argentine. A caballeros can be very warm if he's after a woman, and very cold if he's out to kill a man. You know, of course, that I'm married to Greg Collins, the famous private detective. I'm Gail Collins, and I'll be back in a moment to set the stage for our puzzling crime.
It's a crime, Mr. Collins. Tell me, Senora Collins, you mentioned the Argentine. What's our story title tonight?
I call it The Chrome Yellow Death.
Sounds exciting.
Believe me, Jack, it was. Greg and I received an invitation to Los Colorados, just outside of Buenos Aires. A very wealthy tobacco magnate, Tom McDougal, owned an exquisite hacienda farther inland, in rather fetid, tropical, almost jungle area. He had known Greg a long time, and he'd asked us to fly down from San Francisco as his guests, including the plane fare. What especially intrigued Greg, though, was that instead of the usual come-and-visit-me note, the letter from McDougal hinted that there was some high jinks going on in Cruz Angelo. Anyway, we had left the airport and driven way inland to Tom's hacienda, where the foreman greeted us.
Bienvenido, Senor y Senora Collins. Welcome. I am Antonio Sebastian, Senor McDougal's foreman. I will take the baggage, I think, no?
Hello, Antonio. We haven't seen you in about 5 years, have we?
No, Senora. It is a pity. It is a shame.
Where's Tom, Antonio? Out in the tobacco fields, I suppose.
No, Senor Collins. Senor McDougal, he never go near. He just let Antonio grow the tobacco. He stay here all the time. He will be here soon, I think. Would you like to make yourself comfortable?
Oh, sure.
Here, I have prepared a daiquiri for you.
Oh, that's swell, Antonio.
Antonio, make the best daiquiri in all Argentine.
Thank you, Antonio. Well, salute.
Salute y pesetas y amor, Antonio.
Salute, Senor y Senora Collins.
Sensational.
Oh, I'm going to steal you from Tom, Antonio, just to have you in San Francisco. We'll pay you twice what Tom does. And all you have to do is make daiquiri.
Antonio. Antonio.
Ah, there's Senor McDougal now. I'm here, Senor, with your visitors, Senor and Senora Collins.
Here? I hadn't expected them so soon. Greg, my boy, and Gail, how are you both?
We're fine, thanks, Tom.
Don't you look a bit hot and bothered? Something wrong?
Yes, a fire. Almost destroyed my tobacco crop.
What is that?
Oh, we got it out. but it was a pretty close thing.
You were in the field, senor?
Yes, Antonio. And something's very funny down there. I'll talk to you about that later, after dinner.
Daddy!
Oh, Lorna. Greg, Gail, you remember my daughter.
Yes, of course.
Oh, hello. Hello. Daddy, did you tell me the truth? Do you swear you didn't hurt yourself putting out that fire?
No. Have I ever lied to you, Lorna?
Yes, often.
I want to show you something when we finish dinner, Greg.
What's that, Tom?
Something I found in my tobacco field. A rag soaked in kerosene.
You found what, senor?
A rag, Antonio, soaked in kerosene. Somebody started that fire deliberately.
But why, Tom?
I don't know, Gail. Something screwy's going on here, and I can't figure it out. Today, we had a brush fire. Last week, someone put poison in my wells. Antonio and I have watched and waited. We even notified the police. Had a few agents to policia hanging around for a while.
Anybody in these parts got it in for you, Tom?
Oh, no, senor. Senor Tom, everybody love him.
Everybody except Granite.
Who's Granite?
Chap who lives about 10 miles from here. Wild little fellow. He's an exporter. He's also a nut about Latin American culture. He collects things. Has about a dozen rooms full of Aztec weapons, Mexican novelties, Brazilian coins, all kinds of junk.
What's he got against you?
He wanted to buy this place. Of course, I wouldn't sell it to him. But you're wasting your time thinking it's Granite. He's clever. He wouldn't be pulling any of these stunts. They're too obvious for a man like him.
Daddy, I still say you should sell and let's get out of here. I hate this place. It's horrible. I can't sleep nights.
Oh, please, senorita, do not cry.
Hello, Lorna, darling.
Oh, hello, Stuart. Greg, Gail, this is Stuart, my fiancé.
Hi, Stuart.
You're just in time for dinner, Stuart.
He's always just in time for dinner.
Oh, now, Daddy, you've got to stop that.
Young man, I'm among good friends, so I can speak freely. Someday, I'm going to take you by the seat of your pants and toss you out once and for all.
Look, MacDougal, you might as well get used to the idea that I'm going to marry Lorna. Because that's exactly what's going to happen.
It is, eh? Why, you insolent...
Daddy, please. We have guests.
Sorry, Greg, Gail.
It's okay, Tom.
Daddy's just in a bad mood because we've had some more trouble.
I know. I heard about the brush fire. Mr. Granite told me.
You know Mr. Granite, Stuart?
Yes. I work for him. I'm his foreman.
Is he in town now?
Yes, he is. And he's on his plantation. Oh, I know what you're thinking, Mr. Collins, but you're on the wrong track. Mr. Granite isn't the only person in town who has a grudge against MacDougal.
Stuart, don't start that
look
again.
Look here, Stuart.
Oh, Senor Stuart, please, you know how you say exaggerate.
Do I, Antonio?
I began to see that Tom MacDougal's beautiful hacienda was actually a very strange place. There was hatred and suspicion everywhere. But keep your ears pinned, friends. We'll be back in a minute with more of our story. After dinner, Greg and I took a stroll in the grounds. It was cool, the stars were out, and we stood by a long line of fountains that Tom had lit up with colored spotlights. Oh, aren't those fountains gorgeous, Greg?
I know something much prettier.
What?
You, chum.
Oh, Greg. That's the first nice thing you said to me for ages. Why aren't you romantic anymore?
I know the next line, bub. It's about how marriage changes men and they take their wives for granted.
But you do.
Now, look, darling. Let's go up on that little balcony. You see it?
Mm-hmm.
The stars are shining right on it. Just see if I've forgotten how to be romantic.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea, Greg. Come on. The stairway's over here. Greg, look. Under that archway on the floor. It's Tom. He's fainted.
Yeah, let me see him, Gail.
What's that around his neck?
It's a gimmick they call Las Bolas. Three strips of leather with three lead balls.
But what's he doing with it? What's wrong with him?
Los Bolos has one major purpose, Gale. It is just so that purpose very well. You use Los Bolos to commit murder.
The dead body of Tom McDougal, sprawled on the colored tiles by the fountains in the starlight, was a gruesome paradox. Greg leaned over, loosened those leather strips that were around Mr. McDougal's throat.
It's quite a weapon, Gale. Used extensively in Argentina. These three lead balls are each at the end of a leather strip, see? An expert, and only an expert, can use Las Bolas. He tosses it, sometimes from as much as 20 feet away. One ball knocks the victim unconscious. You see that bruise on Tom's head?
Yeah.
The other two wrap themselves around the throat, strangling the victim. Evidently, that's just what happened to Tom.
We'd better call Antonio, don't you think? He can get the police. Antonio! Antonio!
You call me, Senora Collins? Madre mia! Senor McDougal! Ah, Los Bolos! He's dead? He's dead?
Yes, Antonio.
Oh, Senor McDougal.
Mr. Collins, Stuart and I wanted to ask you if... Daddy! Well, what's wrong with him? What's happened? Daddy!
Your father is dead, Lorna.
Oh, no.
Easy, Lorna. Easy.
Come with me, honey. Sit down over here.
Did you find McDougal's body just that way, Mr. Collins?
Just this way, Stuart. Not 5 minutes ago. Recognize this yellow leather gadget?
Yes. They call it Los Bolos, don't they?
Yes, they do. Take care of Lorna, Gale. I'll get someone to phone the police.
You kill Senor McDougal. That is what I think, Senor Stuart.
Shut up, you crazy fool.
You hate him. You kill him.
Where'd you get that idea?
When you learn how to use Los Bolos.
Suppose I do know how. That doesn't mean I'd murder McDougal, does it?
Please, please stop fighting this way. Daddy's dead. What good does it do to accuse each other?
I think I can help, Lorna.
How?
By going to the other plantation and talking to Granite.
Stuart and Lorna stayed and waited for the police. Meantime, Greg and I got into a station wagon with Antonio and did 85 on those dirt roads till we reached Granite's plantation. Granite was a queer-looking duck, short, shabbily dressed, with very heavy glasses. He smoked small black cigars and peered at us behind a huge desk covered with paraphernalia.
What can I do for you, Mr. Collins?
I have some news for you, Mr. Granite. Mr. McDougal is dead.
I'm glad to hear it. I loathe the man. A heart attack, I presume?
No heart. Somebody kill him with Los Bolos.
Well, then, he had the satisfaction of dying in a rather picturesque way. Most of us aren't that fortunate.
You wanted to buy Mr. McDougal's estate, didn't you?
Oh, yes, indeed. I'm an exporter, Mr. Collins. The McDougal estate is by the waterfront, has a ready-made landing. By the way, will you give Lorna McDougal a message for me?
Yeah, what is it?
Tell her I want to see her. See, it's very important. I'd never have persuaded her father to sell. He's very stubborn. Somebody saved me a headache.
Do not speak of the dead this way, Senor Granite. You'll be punished. Senor, Senora Collins, please excuse me.
Where are you going, Antonio?
I wait outside. I cannot speak to Senor Granite. If I speak to such a, how you say, man of the devil, poor Antonio will be punished himself.
Like most of the natives, Mr. and Mrs. Collins, Antonio is an illiterate fool, weaned on superstition.
I'm sorry, Mr. Granite. I'm very fond of Antonio.
You still haven't told me why you came here, Mr. Collins. You suspect me of murder, of course. But you must be incredibly naive to think that you could just walk in and have me hand you a written confession.
I haven't accused you of murder, Mr. Granite. I'm just, shall we say, gathering information.
Let me help you. Would you like to look around my place? Most of my guests find it fascinating. I've dozens of rooms in which I've gathered Latin American curiosa. One entire room is filled with the remnants of the Mayan civilization. Oh, and by the way, you'll see also a bolos, which I know how to use. Mine is painted green. What color was the one the killer used?
Chrome yellow.
Oh, disturbing shade. I don't like it. Would you and your lovely wife care to follow me? I can describe the items in my collection as we go.
Thank you, Mr. Grennett. I'd rather not.
Then may I offer you a drink? I've one of the largest wine collections in Argentine.
I think we'd prefer to leave right now, Mr. Grennett.
Very well, Mrs. Collins, just as you say. My man tells me you came in your own station wagon, or I'd be happy to offer you a car. The front door is this way. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Grennett. Coming, Antonio?
The station wagon is right outside, Senora. I drove it around to the front. Oh, my head. I feel dizzy. I feel sick.
Antonio, what's wrong?
Oh, sick. Antonio feels sick. The drink, there was poison in the drink.
Oh, what drink? Try to talk, Antonio. What drink?
Senor Grennett, man, he give me drink while I wait out here.
Oh. Antonio!
He's been poisoned!
I resent the accusation, Mrs. Collins. Antonio may be ill for half a dozen reasons, but certainly not because of anything he was served in my house. I'll call a doctor.
You'd better call a doctor, and quickly, too. If Antonio dies, you'll have killed him.
I'll have the physician come over at once. Don't excite yourself, Mrs. Collins.
Antonio! Oh, he's so cold, Greg. And his eyes...
Gail, we've got to leave Antonio in Granite's hands.
But we can't.
We must.
Why?
We've got to get to Lorna McDougal. Bring her back here as soon as possible.
We drove to the hacienda, picked up Lorna, and made all speed back to Granite's place. As we walked through the huge entrance, across the tiled floor...
Look, there's Antonio.
How are you, Antonio?
Better, Senora. Mr. Grennett did not send for the doctor.
He didn't? Well, where is he? I'll tell him a
thing. He took good care of Antonio. Got me these blankets. Put me on the sofa and gave me drink. Antonio better.
See, Greg? Grennett got a little too ambitious. He knew he couldn't let Antonio die right in front of our eyes.
Where is he, Antonio?
In that room, Senor. He went in there, I think... Antonio, not sure. Antonio fell asleep.
All right, Lorna. You know what to do.
Go into that room?
That's right. Tell Grennett you want to know exactly what he has to say, why he wanted to see you. And don't be afraid of him. Remember, we'll be right outside the door.
What are you doing?
Don't worry, Antonio. Just relax. Go on, Lorna. Through that door. Stand over there, Gail, so Grennett can't see you when she opens the door.
Ready, Mr. Collins?
Ready. Open the door. Well? See him, Lorna?
No. No, he's not here. I don't see him anywhere. I...
What is it?
In the corner of the room. Mr. Grennett. He's dead. Los Bolas!
Mr. Grennett was lying in the corner of his room with a yellow leather bolas wrapped around his neck, his face twisted in agony with a horrible purple tinge from strangulation. In just a minute, we'll bring you the climax of the case. Greg had examined the body and called for the police.
Oh, it's horrible. Horrible.
You've had more than your share, Lorna.
I don't understand it, Greg. All this time, I've been thinking that Mr. Grennett was...
The killer? Well, I was on that trail for a while myself, Gail, but...
Mr. Collins, Mrs. Collins.
Oh, there's Stuart.
What are you all doing? What? Oh.
Mr. Granite.
He's dead, Stuart. Died the same way Tom McDougal did.
Mm-hmm. Los Wallace, huh?
Where'd you come from, Stuart?
I work here, Mrs. Collins. I told you that before. I'm Mr. Grant's foreman.
Antonio, is this the man who gave you the drink?
Drink? What's wrong with Antonio?
No. Senor Granite has houseboy.
You know, I think we could wash this up even before the police get here.
The police?
Now, if you'll calm down for a second, Lorna, and answer a question or two.
Please, please, no more questions. Not about Daddy anyway. I can't talk about that, please.
Now, take it easy, Lorna. Sit down. Have a cigarette. I'm sorry I only have these native cigarettes.
Oh, no, no, thank you. I only smoke American brands.
Anybody else? Antonio. I bet you could use one.
Oh, thank you, Senor Collins. That is what Antonio need. Calm the nerves, I think.
Why don't you take the chair in the corner, Stuart? I'm sure we'd all stop screaming at each other if we could get at the truth.
Look, never mind the psychological approach, Mr. Collins. All this cozy business doesn't impress me at all. Get to the point.
Oh, I will. Yes, Stuart, I will. If I can get everybody to cool off. How about you? Smoke?
All right, I'll take one.
What's in this cigarette?
It's marijuana.
What?
Greg, did you say marijuana?
That's right, Gail. The killer smokes marijuana, and he's...
You are very much smarter than I thought, Mr. Collins.
Antonio!
Get out of my way, Mrs. Collins.
Stop him! He'll get out through the window.
Quick, the bolus on the wall. Give it to me. Here. Watch out, Antonio. I'm going to throw it.
No. No, don't throw it. Oh, my legs. My legs.
You're lucky, Antonio. I decided to wrap it around your legs and take you alive. You're lucky I didn't give it to you in the throat the way you did with McDougal and Granite.
After they took Antonio away and we said goodbye to Stuart and Lorna, we decided to finish our vacation in Caracas, Venezuela. As we waited in the airport... All right, Greg. Start from the beginning about Antonio. And tell me slowly. Because I'm not in a very bright mood.
Well, it isn't complicated at all, Gail. When Antonio collapsed... After he said he'd been poisoned, a packet of cigarettes fell out of his pocket. I recognized them. They were marijuana cigarettes. Well, that gave me a hunch. And when we went back to pick up Lorna, I had a look at the tobacco growing there on the outskirts of the McDougal plantation. It was marijuana.
But what's that got to do with it?
Don't you see? I'd clinched it. Antonio, when we first met him, said McDougal never examined his plantation at all. He left it to his charming foreman, Antonio.
Then if you knew it was Antonio...
Well, I wasn't absolutely positive, Gail. Until I purposely offered those cigarettes to Lorna, Stuart, and Antonio. And of course, all they knew was that I had a native pack. Lorna refused them. They made Stuart sick. But Antonio enjoyed them.
I know the rest. I can fit the pieces together as well as you can. Antonio was probably growing the marijuana way out near the jungle where McDougal wouldn't notice it.
Yeah, that's right. Antonio not only smoked the awful stuff, but probably sold it at a terrific profit. He poisoned the wells and started the brush fire because he wanted to jinx the place. He didn't want anyone to buy the plantation. They might find out his secret. But McDougal must have stumbled across the stuff, so...
Antonio killed him.
That's the deal. Then, to throw suspicion off himself, he slipped himself a Mickey in Granite's house. But Granite, who was a very sharp apple, must have guessed Antonio was faking. So, Granite had to get the Bolas treatment, too.
The last call for flight 63 to Caracas.
Greg, darling, when we get to Caracas, you owe me something.
Yeah? What is it?
A balcony in the starlight. You were going to show me that even though we've been married for a few years, you can still be romantic. You were going to recite poetry and give me flowers and...
Oh, no, Gail. Not me. I don't get romantic with all that icky stuff.
But, Greg, when we do get to that balcony with gardenias all around it, the stars are out, and we're alone, what will you do?
I'll think of something. Well, folks, Gail and I hope you enjoyed our adventure, The Chrome Yellow Death. Be sure to visit us next time for another Puzzle in Murder. For where there is crime and romance, there you'll find Mr.
and Mrs. Collins.
It's a Crime, Mr. Collins, on Tuned to Yesterday from 1956 on Mutual Radio. And that brings the curtain down on this hour of mystery on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.